Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday. Good Friday, March the 29th, last Friday in the month of March 2024, 16 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Carrington Nelson as we head in 1 week away from today to the city of brotherly love where the United States emanated. Constitution Hall, Independence Hall, Liberty Bell, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Cheesesteaks, WrestleMania 40, and the Hall of Fame induction ceremony next Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Peacock Network. Sold out, 21,000 people in the Wells Fargo Center, almost exactly 1 week away from right now.
That was a good summary. I liked it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
The compliments from you really make a night for me.
Aww.
Yeah, if I don't get a compliment from you, I really feel depressed when I leave here.
Right. Well, I'm making sure we slip that in there with the 2 minutes into the show that we are in, so.
She's got to slip that one in there so every other punch she throws at you later in the show.
They'll come. Yeah.
No, what? I have been gone for 2 weeks. We're starting off on a good note.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into any of the bad things that have happened since you left, but that's okay.
Right. The bad things that have happened when I was gone?
No, just the bad things that happened while you were gone. Like the NCAA thing, and you'd be... Oh, now see, we're getting into them. And the whole uncommunicative nature you did after rapping me for not being communicative.
Uncommunicative nature.
Yes. Oh, here we go, right off the bat. Now see, you brought this on.
It happened. So we talked about it on the Wednesday night show, so it's already like...
It's already been brought out there, so
yeah,
it's still, okay. You
screamed
at me and like did one of those... Remember when... Oh, I still have your crochet needle, by the way. Because I did not respond to your email. And then I sent you an email, and you were not in Hawaii. It was the first day you were back, even though you were on another trip, and you never responded for a week.
No, it was less than a week.
Think about this.
It was less than a week, and I responded in person.
A week later?
No, less than a week.
I could have been... No, it was a week. Because it was Wednesday, and I saw you on Wednesday.
We need to, like, timestamp and see what time
you said. All I'm saying, what happened?
I was planning to talk to you in person about it. I didn't have the mental capacity
later,
to...
Your mental capacity was gone?
Yeah, I couldn't respond.
How much mental capacity does it take
to say, okay? That's all you had to say.
Okay.
Type okay.
Well...
Because you said in your email, you said, tell me if you can't get this, access my bracket. And I said, I can't access your bracket. Never heard another word.
Right, but I was like,
but why did you want me to tell you this?
Just so I knew. So I was like, okay,
said,
but don't worry, I already filled it out. Yeah, I was like, I'll
blow him off.
I'll bring him the bracket in person, and then I came to you, and I was like, hey, just so you know, like
a week later,
I have the bracket, like I made it and everything.
A week later.
But you knew that I made the bracket because I
said I knew you made the bracket, but you asked me in the email.
Well, you see, it's like it's one of those things that like how do we know you truly made it? Because
we really don't.
You sent in a document that was locked, so like we couldn't tell you what was in that document if we wanted to.
And you asked me if I could access it, and when I responded, no, I cannot access it.
I was like, well, I'll get it to him.
Who cares?
When I'm back,
no,
I should have communicated that. Sorry.
And why didn't you do it?
Because I was, I didn't have the mental capacity to communicate.
See, I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
I was just like, we were on the trip with my mom. I don't know. I was just like, I was busy. I ran out of time.
You were busy.
Yeah.
Now, when I said I was busy and couldn't respond to your emails, that was not a significant excuse because apparently it doesn't take much time to respond to an email.
If I recall, it was something along the lines of I was busy. You were like, for 5 days?
Yeah, for 5 days.
Well... Yes, but you did not address the email in person, and I had to bring it up later.
Hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. That's all I see here is hypocrisy.
Maybe.
She had to find the one difference in the whole situation and say, well, it's different because of this.
I brought it up.
Well, I did address it, you know. I was like,
five days later.
I didn't forget about what you said.
Well, I didn't forget about what you said either.
Like, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what the message was, but it was something that didn't require a response.
No,
like,
it didn't.
The response would have been okay.
And yours was requiring a response.
Like, we
matter of fact, you said respond. Let me know.
And you responded, and
you prompted the response. And then when he responded, you just said, eh.
Yeah, my thing was like, you didn't even ask me a question. It was just like a statement.
Yeah, just like, let me know.
Yeah, no, you didn't say let me know. There was no let me know.
You know, I'm under the impression that she might have even known it was locked now, because she said.
I think she did.
Because she said, you know, if you can't get into it, let me know.
And then,
like, off the rip, you were like, if you can't get into it, let me know.
And I did.
And then there was nothing.
I let her know. Mark it down.
So, you know, if you win this, I'm saying there was some kind of cheating involved.
Right. So, I mean, Matt, I mean, honestly, have I not been vilified, crucified on Easter weekend, unfortunately and inappropriately by somebody months ago for being non-commutative in an email, and then come to find out that she really is the non-commutative one?
Seems that way.
There you go.
I feel you end up on.
Well, no, it's just what happened. These are just the facts, man, just the facts.
I'm sorry. I didn't know it would hurt you.
No, it didn't hurt me. I honestly didn't remember it till you brought it up, but now that I feel, looking back at it,
wait a second.
I did not like being chastised on and off the air for my email etiquette, and then come to find out yours is worse than mine.
Oh, mine's not worse.
Etiquette.
Saw Scott a week later and said, oh, yeah, that message.
I was like, don't worry, I have the bracket. I think in my mind, I was like, they already know I have the bracket. And then if he can't access it, I was like, well, I have it and I'll bring it to
him. That would have been a good answer.
No, I should have said that. And yeah. I'm sorry that I didn't just respond, be like, okay, well, I'll show you when I'm back.
We were waiting.
I know. I'm sure you were in anticipation.
I was just sitting by the computer, just waiting for that email to pop up.
Staring at the screen. Hitting the refresh button every time.
Anyway, I'm sorry I got off to an ugly note like that.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that.
But you did.
Well, no, I started with a compliment.
You did, but then I said, okay, and I'm not going to get into any ugliness, and then you uglied it up.
I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway.
Trying to just blow it all up. Anyway, now, this is interesting. Tomorrow morning, we'll be having breakfast at Mary Ellen's.
Yes.
Waffles, the Withrow waffle. She's going to make them. You excited about this, Matt?
Oh, yeah, of course. Where else would I rather be? Fantastic.
Yes, and Sean will be there with us.
Yeah.
You, unfortunately, will not. But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, plans happen, you know?
I'm sad. You know, plans are just going to work.
Yeah, but we're excited because...
I bet you are.
No, we really are. Because, you know, this is interesting in and of itself because this is Mary Ellen in her house making waffles for us, the big recipe that everybody wanted to try. And Mary Ellen, nobody asked her to do this. She said, I'll do it and come over to my house and I'll make them and we'll have... So we're going to have pretty much a brunch, I think, at 11 a.m. tomorrow at Mary Ellen's. We're all going to have waffles. And she even sent me a text tonight. She said... My house waffles, 11 a.m. I said, I'll be there.
I don't know her address. This is a concern.
You'll make it. We'll get there.
All right, sounds good. Yeah. Make sure you have it.
I'll make sure you have it. So we're going to have a great time over it. Can you imagine? That's kind of fun because most of the things we've done with Mary Ellen have been professional things. Tomorrow's just kind of sit and talk. Have breakfast. How often does that happen?
It hasn't happened.
You can say you had brunch with the treasurer of the United States.
What an experience.
What an experience. And you can say you went to work.
I can say I was invited to brunch with treasury of the United States.
Well, see, I'm not going to say you weren't invited because it's not my party.
Okay.
But I don't know that anybody ever specifically said your name. So I can't say that you were invited and I can't say that you were not invited.
Okay. Well, in here, in my heart, I know. I was invited.
You're just a little difficult sometimes. We've discussed that. But tomorrow, we will be having waffles, so I'm excited. You know, it's better than going to Bob Evans.
I'm jealous. I was really excited to try these waffles. I think this might have been, like, partially my brainchild.
Oh.
The waffle event.
Really?
I think so. We discussed this a couple weeks ago
Email it to me?
No. No email trail.
All I know is it's fun, so I wanted to bring that up.
Either way,
tomorrow.
It's happening.
Yes, it is happening. So we'll report back on that next week. Now, you know something that's interesting? Because I opened up with the whole WrestleMania Hall of Fame thing. It ran in the paper. God bless them at the paper on Wednesday. Matt, you can read the headline there. Because I really feel a little braggy when I read that myself.
local radio personality Spears to be presenter at WWE Hall of Fame ceremony.
I became personality, you see. Now, let me tell you why this is important. Ever since that came out, and I started talking about it on Wednesday, because I was talking about Thunderbolt going on, but wasn't really talking about doing it, because I really did not know that I was going to do it. People have come, I cannot tell you how many people have come up and said congratulations, and that's what they say, which I think is very interesting. That's how they are approaching me. Last night, I was at Wendy's, and I was having dinner with somebody, and I could tell this guy was looking at me. He was with his family. He had his wife and like two little kids, and he kept looking at me, and I thought, what does this guy want? So he's just about to leave, and then he walks back in, and he goes, I just got to tell you, man, congratulations. I'm going to be watching you that night. I think it's so great. I had no idea who this man was, but he said, I've been watching WWE since I was a little boy, and I'm so excited for you. That's so great. I didn't mean to eavesdrop in on your conversation, blah, 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 blah. And at Kroger the other day, the day after that ran Thursday, I cannot tell you how many people came up, and that's exact. They all say the same thing. Congratulations, congratulations. That older couple that always comes in every day came over to me, made it a point, got out of their regular routine, and walked over and said, we read that in the newspaper. Congratulations. When do you leave? You know, it's very, very nice.
Everyone's excited for you. It is a really cool opportunity. Obviously, a lot of people don't get to do that ever.
No, it's a very interesting thing. But then a lot of people also are saying, like the people who I know and the people who have known about it, are you nervous? And I'm not. And I think when they say it, maybe I should be.
That's like asking, did you cry? It's like, no.
Oh, who asked that?
He's nobody's not ever nervous. Asked me that. He wasn't emotional about it. He's there. He's going to rock it out.
Well, I mean, should I be nervous? I don't know that I should be. I mean, it's a thing. I mean, I appreciate it. I think it's great. It's a nice opportunity. It's like a full circle thing, but I'm not nervous.
I think the 21,000 live audience is what people are curious if you're worried about. But
it's not like I can see all 21,000 of them.
That's true.
I think you're more aware of the people who are watching.
But you know they're there.
Okay.
And that doesn't faze you, obviously. So, like, that's good. They're just asking if...
Well, and people can say, have you written down anything? Do you have anything? And I, no.
Are you just going to show up and start talking from the heart?
Well, I mean, obviously, I know about the man. I don't think I would be asked to do this. And mm-hmm. I can't say it hasn't crossed my mind, because obviously I know it's happening. But have I written anything down? Am I like, no, I haven't done that. And somebody went, oh, and by the way, this is how your friends can be. I'm not going to name the person who did this. But I'm sitting with this person the other day, and they go, you're going to be higher energy when you come up and give that speech, right? And I said, what? What do you mean higher? She said, well, this is WWE. You know, you got to come in big. You can't come in low energy. I said, do you think I'm low energy? And she said, well, no, I'm not saying that, but you don't want to come in low energy. I thought, why are you telling me this? What is this?
She's giving you pointers.
Who is she to give me pointers?
She wants you to walk out there and then just scream into the microphone.
I think so. I said, I don't think you understand. This is not a wrestling match. I'm not wrestling anybody. I'm giving an induction speech into the Hall of Fame.
She wants you to be like Travis Kelce after he won the Super Bowl and he was like screaming the Viva Las Vegas into the microphone. Like, that's the energy.
Chief cheated.
Oh, there you go.
That's the energy she's looking for.
It's a Hall of Fame speech. It's supposed to be emotional. It's supposed to be a little bit funny. It's supposed to be truthful. I mean, it's about the Hall of Famer. It's not about me.
Right, so that's just your take on it. I think you can, you know, approach it however you want to.
Well, certainly it didn't change how I was going to approach it. I just thought that was a kind of a oddball comment to make.
That does seem like a little bit of a dig, I'm not going to lie.
No, it wasn't. I'm sure it was a dig.
It seems like it.
I think the person was jealous, so they were taking a dig.
How dirty.
Well, you know.
It's like, well, guess what? Thunderbolt Patterson didn't ask you.
Well, that's right. And everybody else has said congratulations, though. So you got the one dig, and everybody else is very congratulatory. So there you go.
Well, I mean, the one person who took a dig at you was your friend. And, you know, that's what true.
Maybe it was a friendly dig.
Yeah. I mean, me and my friends bully each other all the time. That's how you know you're truly friends, you know. You can just bully each other and be like, oh, funny.
Well, then it did turn into, you know, are you going to write something down? They always ask you that.
At that point, it's like banter.
Why? I mean, what is the... I never write anything down. So what would be the reason to write something down in this particular occasion?
I think the large audience, people are probably just nervous that you would get up there and freeze up or something, I think is what people's fear is. Maybe like they're just projecting because they think that they would do that themselves. So it's like, oh, they want to make sure you have everything in order for whenever you start speaking.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I agree. I think you'll be fine. I mean, you've talked before. You'll talk again. You know, like, you can do it. I believe in you.
Crochet that into a pillow. Yeah. You've talked before. You'll talk again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think it's, in the moment, it will come to you.
Right. I agree. I mean, especially since you do know him, it's like you have memories you can share. I'm sure you'll think of some of the things that you want to say ahead of time, and then just whenever you're up there, whatever flows naturally.
I think when you suit up, when you get in your tuxedo, when you see the lights, when you see the people, I think that's when you know what you're going to do.
It'll just come to you in the moment.
Well, it does. I think that's what normally happens. I think it just hits you then.
I hope you have a Viva Las Vegas moment. You're like, I just feel really compelled to scream into this microphone right now.
I don't know. There's nothing in my mind, honestly, that I think I want to say. It'll be whatever comes out.
So do you think that you're going to think about it more before you start? Scott's just going to
get up on stage, black out, and then all of a sudden snap back into reality, and everybody's going to be, you know, like,
clapping.
Loving the speech, and then he's just going to, you know, there he is. There's our Thunderbolt Patterson.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's all there'll be. Here's Thunderbolt.
There he is.
Well, you know, at that point, I mean, your job kind of up.
Right, but you know what's interesting is that people do seem to feel that there's some emotion involved in this because of the, you know, it really is strange. I guess I'm not emotional. I really am not. I wish I could work up an emotion for you. Maybe it'll come that day. You never know. But I think it all goes back to, number one, as I was saying last week, I never wanted to be a broadcaster. Always wanted to be a teacher. That's what I was going to school, and that's what I did. Never took a journalism class. Never took a broadcasting class. But come to remember, when I was very, very young, like 5, 6, 7 years old, I would take the WWE tapes and turn down the volume and put my own little broadcast over top of the WWE stuff. So it's very unique that I ended up in broadcasting, and then to not only end up in broadcasting, but to end up on the WWE show with the people that I watched in the audience watching me. That's strange.
Are you going to mention that in your speech? I feel like that was kind of fun. That was inspirational feeling.
Well, I'm just saying this is life, and this is when people, this is the moment. This is the moment where you have to say to yourself, you can't do it. You can't do it because you're living Marion. You can't get this. Listen, what's left to do?
You've done what you wanted to do.
I mean, I would have never dreamed something like this would happen, and I never set out for this to happen. So that it is happening is just very bizarre.
At the end of the show, Scott's going to announce that he's retiring.
I'm retiring at the end of the show. I'm all done. No, it's just very odd because I've had football players, basketball players, baseball players, and that I would end up with the thing that I used to broadcast over is just very odd. I was telling, was it you the other day, for people who don't believe that there is something out there, call it whatever you want, there's something going on. That just doesn't happen. That's some kind of divine intervention.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it. That's, yeah, what are the chances? I mean, just whenever you're younger, and especially because you didn't actually have a goal of going into broadcasting, no. That things just kind of like fell into place almost. Do you think that's how it was? I mean,
I didn't just fall into place.
You talked about it. You said you like feel like you put in work
work. You're right. It's never work, but it's fun.
Right.
But my new theory, I don't think I've told you this, but I've told Matt. Maybe I should tell you. Here's what I've learned about broadcasting now from these recent events, is that there are two areas of it. There's talent and there's persistence. And you can survive with one, but it takes both to be successful.
Okay.
If you have talent, you can get by even if you're not persistent, because your talent will carry you. You won't be great because your guest will stink because you're not very persistent, but talent will carry. But if you're very persistent, you'll have great guests, but because you're not talented, it'll be okay. You'll get by because the guests will carry you. But if you have talent and persistence, then you got it.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah, but you can't teach people that. You certainly can't give them talent, and if they don't have persistence, you can't make them persistent.
That was inspiring.
Thank you.
Persistence is teachable.
I don't think you can instill persistence in it. You can say it over and over and over. It doesn't mean they're going to be it.
I think you can teach it.
You could teach. I don't think it's a lack of knowing how to do it. I feel like there has to be some kind of like intrinsic motivation to like want to do that.
I think I can tell you to go after everybody and never take no for an answer. Doesn't mean you're going to do it.
Yeah. It's hard. I feel like facing rejection is difficult. I mean, whenever you're like reaching out to somebody constantly and if they didn't respond to you, I feel like it would be hard to stay motivated.
I've went after interviews for years and you finally wear them down.
That's crazy. So you're just like emailing them constantly?
Yeah. Different people,
calling,
different things.
Knocking on their door, like
all those things.
Wow.
Post-its on the door, calling their neighbors. You know.
Their neighbors.
Yeah.
Oh,
sometimes you don't
gosh.
Have their phone number.
That's crazy.
But you get it, they appreciate it.
Who?
The people. And they do in the end. Phil Donahue took forever because he doesn't do interviews anymore. And I wanted him. And I called and emailed and called his office. And da 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 da. And one day, out of the blue, I said, I'm going to New York. Would you do this? And he shot back. He said, I'm going to be there for you this time. In 2 hours, lobby of the, what was the hotel? Next door to Carnegie Hall, the Wellington Hotel, in the lobby. Here's Phil Donahue, 2 hours live on the station. And I think, wow, this is happening. You know, but it took a long time. And at the end, he said, you reminded me of me. That's why I did it. You had persistence.
How long do you think you emailed him?
Years.
Like how many, though?
Oh, probably 5 or 6.
That's crazy.
But you never give up.
Never.
Never give up. But some people aren't cut out for that, though. Some people are just meant to be, you know, something else. Well, I didn't want to say anything bad there because I don't look down on anything anybody else does. Mm-hmm. But some people just can't do it. I think they have a fear of failure on the whole.
Maybe they just don't care.
Yeah, I think their life is seen as different in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I was thinking the other day, this is exactly the right life because people can say, okay, well, that's okay for you, but it wouldn't be okay for me. But you know what? That's not exactly right because this is something that very few people in general will ever get to do. There have been 31 Hall of Fames with about 5 inductees every year. So how many inductors on the planet Earth have there ever been? Not a whole lot when you take the population. Okay, well, you got married and had kids. Okay, well, let's take the number of people who got married and had kids. Let's take the people who've done this. Let's check those percentages out.
All you losers with kids out there.
No, it doesn't mean you're a loser. No, it doesn't mean that.
Oh, my gosh.
It just means that you did something easy. You weren't really doing anything that, maybe it made you happy.
Right.
But it didn't, it's not going to be remembered by anybody other than your immediate people.
Yeah, it's not the road less traveled.
No, it's not. And I believe there's a different kind of happiness in that. I believe that happiness is just, I'm happy at the moment. This, how are you going to take this away?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like it's going to be there every moment of my life, but you will never be able to take it away. It's never going to be a bad moment. Marriages turn into divorces. Kids leave. You're not always happy with them. Those are ups and downs. This is forever.
You eternally feel proud of yourself for what you've accomplished.
No, I don't think you feel proud of yourself. I think people make you feel that way when they tell you congratulations, which is where this started. And you think back on it and you think, wow, you know what? I didn't do the thing that was easy.
And it's worth it. Like, you
it
definitely feel that. You have no regrets about the path you've taken.
No. No, God, no. Why would I regret it?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like a lot of people will get in situations where they're like, oh, wow, I wish I would have done that different or this different.
Well, but most people.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize to the degree that most people do that.
Have regrets.
Yeah. Until you get to about 35. That's when they start to come in. And you say, ooh.
Like, oh, 35.
I'm 35 and I'm doing this. Maybe those other doors are not still open for me. I think mm-hmm. that's what happens. And it's sad. I do feel sad for those people.
It's probably the feeling of just being trapped in that situation.
Yeah, but they don't see. Again, it comes to people who are married multiple times. They don't see that.
I think you don't realize until you're in it. Like you said, the other doors aren't open anymore, and
right.
then they're there, and
you
they're like, oh.
You don't realize till it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize till it's over what a mistake you've made.
Right.
And, you know, okay. I mean, it doesn't make me better than you, because it's not like I'm the only one who's ever done this, but I'm sorry more people don't have loftier ambitions.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like whenever I was younger, the people I was surrounded with all seemed rather ambitious, but being out in the real world and exposed to more people, you look around and you're like, oh, wow, there's a lot of people who are not extremely ambitious and don't have a lot that's going on at the moment, which is okay if they're fine with that, but you're like, there's just not a lot of, I don't know, really interesting people out there, I think. Like, I'll talk to people and ask them about their lives and what they're doing, and, like, it seems like there's a very consistent, like, oh, you know, I'm in school, or, like, they've got the boyfriend, they're getting married, and you're like, oh, okay, awesome, sounds good.
But I feel like I can feel when people are making a mistake, but I am not going to tell them that, because, again, it's like most other things in life. People, they may ask your advice. They really don't want to know because they think they're doing the right thing, or why else would they be doing it? And you just got to be supportive of that thing and go, okay, go ahead, do it, be good. But you know, I mean, you know, especially when you get to a point of being older, you know what's right and wrong.
At least for yourself. I mean, you can't control the other people's decision. Maybe right. If they never did it, they would feel a little resentment, you know, if you did go tell them this is wrong and
right,
then they
right. But you
follow
know,
you.
But the point, I'm right, and I'm saying you don't tell them they're wrong.
Right.
But you know it's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I feel that way sometimes.
Good friends wouldn't lie.
Yeah, what? Because you don't want them to second guess themselves, and you don't want to.
I have.
They're going to do it anyway, so why do you want to crash and burn?
I have told a lot of my friends that their decisions are bad decisions. Like, I've brought it up on here before. Like, my friends who got engaged after 6 months, I told them that I thought that was an awful decision. Granted, they know I'm like, anti-marriage almost, but, like, I mean...
But they don't believe it's awful.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, I told them that I think it was a terrible decision. I was like, you guys don't even know each other.
But are you doing this just to say I told you so later on?
Oh, no, they're my friends. I did it because...
But they're not stopping.
I warned them, I guess.
Right, but see, again, they don't think they're wrong. See, this is what you have to understand. They don't believe they're wrong. If they believed they were wrong, they wouldn't be doing it.
I mean, I get that, but at the same time, like, I figure, like, I have to try to bring my friends to some sense of understanding.
It won't happen.
It seems that way. They're still engaged.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean...
So what do you get out of that?
I mean, I guess they could be engaged, but, I mean, at this point, I mean, 6 months, you got to be engaged for a solid, like, 5 years.
I see so many people, so many talented people doing the easy thing. And I think to myself, geez, why are you doing that?
Well,
but, you know, in the end, whatever.
Well, I mean
that's them.
Well, I mean, I think it's easy to know
why they're doing it. I do me, they do them.
They do it because it's the easy thing.
Exactly. It's the easy thing.
It's easy to fall into a comfortable, like, position where you're, like, you know.
If I achieve anything in life, my goal is when people actually ask my advice, and I really think that they want it, is to let them know, never let money be the driver. Money comes with being good at something. So if you're going into something because of the money you can make, then it's an easy job. I mean, talent will give you money. Anybody would tell you that who's got money, who is talented. That's number one. And number two, physical possessions really don't mean all that much in the end. You know, I don't ever think about physical possessions. You know, I think money can be spent in better places. I would rather help people out than buy... If my car goes from here to there, that's really all I need. I don't need to be showy. You know, that's a whole dramatic thing. I think that's much more a younger person's thing.
It's very superficial. I feel like I've read about this online before, the, like, difference between, like, old money, quote-unquote, and, like, new money, where, like, they have different, like, values and stuff, kind of. Like, the older money has, like, the classier, like, vintage-looking stuff, where, like, new, like, younger people, like the Kardashians or whatever, have their... fancy cars, and, like, they always got their super
and that's
nails
why and that's
like,
why the quote-unquote new money never ends up being new money for very long. That's why the new money never makes it to old money.
Right. And you see it all the time, people who are unhappy in their position. Well, think, when they got that job, I bet they were happy they got it.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
And now gotta go to work,
That's how it always feels, I feel like, though.
No, it didn't end up that way with me.
That's true.
Because that was the harder thing. And see, that's the misconception. The harder thing is to do the thing that is not common. You would think it'd be the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, but I don't know. I think it's kind of like the same, like, I mean, the harder you work, the larger the outcome. It's kind of like the higher the risk, the higher the reward. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it.
And I cheer for everybody. God bless everybody on this Easter weekend, and do the best you can with what you got. But I do think that the majority of society at the end of their life has regrets, whether they admit them or not. And that's sad.
Take the road less traveled and be ambitious.
Well, just believe in yourself enough to take the risk, you know, to say, oh, you know, that's risky. This is a sure thing. Do the risky thing, you know, take the risk. What's it going to hurt?
Especially when you're younger and you're in the position where it's like, if you fail, that what's it going to do? It's not like your life is ruined. Like, you've still got another 50 years to.
Well, I wouldn't. That philosophy is a little rough, though, because you think that, and then you get in that job and you stay for a while, and then, oh, all of a sudden you're a little older than what you thought. Or you get tied into, and a lot of people do get tied, God bless them, tied into marriages and kids, and now they got to feed that kid, and they got to support that marriage, so they can't leave that job.
Definitely.
So it becomes
so
more
like,
difficult.
Whenever you're younger and you don't have those kind of things tying you down,
that's when you do
it. Accountable, do it now.
That's when you make the right decision.
Yes.
Because you don't want to get back in behind everybody else, because you do go to the back of the line. You know, somebody told me in the beginning of broadcasting, I don't know if I totally believe this, but I remember somebody telling me, don't ever be absent. Because somebody will be filling in for you, and if they think they're better than you, they will take your chair. I remember somebody telling, I'm not sure that that's true, I really don't know, but I can see it, I do get it, I get the philosophy behind it.
I mean, that's true, if it flows better with the other person.
Yeah, you're obviously going to say, oh, well, you know, that may be the better option.
Yeah.
But that better option would not have presented itself had that person not been gone.
Especially in such a competitive field where it's like, you know,
well,
who wouldn't want that?
But, you know, that's what I like about it. I like that only the few. I like that you got to work at it. I like that it's not just there. I like that.
Yeah.
Because the payoff is great.
Obviously, WWE.
There you go.
Here you come.
By the way, Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia. I have not been to Philadelphia since 2021, and I'm completely excited about that because there's something about that city that I really like.
I'm excited to see Philadelphia. I've never been there.
I was there in 2021. Who was I there with in 2021? God, who was I there with?
I don't know.
I went with somebody. I know. I was there with Angie. I was because we went to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then we went to it's a place where her parents, Charlie and Jeannie, used to eat. I forget where that was, but we went to that place. They had a big buffet. It's like the biggest buffet in the world. It's very cool. We went to that.
We should go there. You know how I like eating?
Oh, it's a big, a huge buffet.
Okay.
And then we went to Philadelphia, and then we went to Manhattan. So that was a fun trip. I had a good time with her.
Speaking of, I've been looking up cookie places in New York City that I'd like to visit.
Let's go to New York and get cookies.
Yes. There's a place called Funny Face Bakery, and I saw good reviews, and I'm excited
like
to hopefully get to try that.
Or a milkshake. I like milkshakes, too.
That's fine. You pick the food place. I'll pick the cookie place.
That's fine. I'll just, you can go get your cookies.
What am I supposed to do? Just limp along?
Oh, you can go where you want, I guess. Apparently, we're splitting up now. Carrington's going to go get cookies, and I'm going to go get a milkshake.
No, we're sticking together. We're experiencing it all together. You can pick what we do the rest of the time when we're not getting cookies and eating.
That trip with her was a very, very fun trip. I do have to say that. I remember that as a very... Hershey was great. I had never been to Hershey. I enjoyed that.
I want to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we toured the chocolate factory. That was fun. And then we went to that buffet, which I enjoyed that. It was a very cool place. Philadelphia, went and saw the Constitution and the Liberty Bell. Loved it. Ben Franklin's grave. It's all right there. And she had never been to Manhattan. And I thought it was fun to take her for the first time. I liked that. We went to Times Square. And so it was a good trip. Good memories. It was. I don't look back on that as a bad time.
I'm excited to recreate it this coming weekend. Woohoo!
And we went up to Donahue's apartment. So that was fun.
Can you please do that?
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Is it like a day of thing? You're like, hey, Phil, are you in town?
Well, see, I don't know if you are of that circle. I don't know if you're like Park Avenue.
I can fake it till I make it.
I definitely don't have a tuxedo.
Well, you don't need a tuxedo, and although I did get fitted for a tuxedo yesterday.
You have to have the Riz, not the tuxedo.
You gotta have the Park Avenue attitude when you walk in and the doorman, and where are you going? The penthouse.
Penthouse for me, please.
Yeah, you gotta have that.
And then they tackle us in the lobby.
Apparently, I made it. let me call the Donahue's. Okay. Oh, yes, they're expecting you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
But that was a fun trip, so I gotta say that, you know, that was a fun trip. She was good on that trip. I had a good
time. She was good. She behaved well.
No. She was fun. I mean, there was nothing wrong with that trip. I remember that as a good moment with her, so that's, you know.
Good.
Yeah. You gotta have those moments every so often.
Absolutely.
And here it comes next Friday.
I'm
7 days away.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get to talk about it afterward as well.
Well, I'm just excited in general because there's so much going on there. And WrestleMania 40, my God, 200,000 people.
I know almost nothing about wrestling. What should we expect? You don't know?
I know. Okay. I know the 619, and that's about it.
Is that a move?
It's an area code? What is that?
It's Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio did, I think it's the 619. It's a, I don't know, some kind of move. Rey Mysterio's like special move finisher thing.
Anyway.
Rey Mysterio!
See, that's past my... if Hulk Hogan walks by, I'll know him. But that's about it.
I
think everybody knows Hulk Hogan. Like Hulk Hogan, John Cena, and The Rock are probably the three most identifiable figures of...
It also is very interesting. This is the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania, and Hulk Hogan started this thing 40 years ago. I mean, that's fascinating, because I remember WrestleMania 1.
Oh, you see Hulk Hogan?
What happens at WrestleMania?
It's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Is it a tournament, or are there only two people wrestling?
No, it's a night of wrestling.
So there's several.
You're going to be a lot of fun at WrestleMania. I can tell that already.
Anything. I never watched.
You don't understand.
Wrestling.
They fill a football game has what 60,000-70,000 people. They fill the football stadium there with 100,000 people two nights in a row.
Are we going to this?
It's WrestleMania.
So are we going to it?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I don't think I understand WrestleMania versus Hall of Fame. I think that
Hall of Fame is a ceremony the night before.
WrestleMania.
That's 21,000. Like that's the night before WrestleMania.
Gotcha.
It's like Christmas Eve, Christmas.
Okay. So this is like a ceremonial thing.
Yeah, that's where they induct the people who mean something into the Hall of Fame in front of 21,000 people. And then the next day, it's the current people put on their big show in front of 100,000 people over 2 days. So it's 200,000 people. 200,000 tickets.
That's awesome. I'm so excited to be a part of it.
You're welcome.
Now that I understand, I'm so excited.
And then we've got the Constitution Hall and Independence Hall
and the Liberty,
and Liberty Bell.
Bell
and Manhattan. And I got an invitation today to go to Top of the Rock on top of Rockefeller Center. They said, be our guest.
Plus two?
See, you don't know who you're traveling with.
Plus
you,
two?
You can go get your cookies. You can go get your cookies.
Scott's occupied for the day.
I'll be busy. I'll be up on the top of Rockefeller Center.
I can pass the cookies if I have to. I'm just saying. I've done my research on New York City about
things. Are you
that
in this
sort of
social circle?
No, I didn't get invited to anything in New York City. That's why I'm seeking out my own opportunities through Cookie Tour.
Is that what that is? Is that how you get to the top of the Rock?
Well, no.
I got the email today. Let me just read this since we've about killed an hour here. From Top of the Rock. Where is it? Top of the Rock. Here we go. General inquiry. It said, would love to welcome you to the Top of the Rock as our guest. Thank you.
Yay.
Are we going
to the Top of the Rock too?
We'll see how it goes.
I feel like that means yes.
We'll see how you are. You know, because we'll be like, that's like day three together, you know?
That's true. We might be like, you know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, I'll see you tonight.
I personally don't think you two are going to make it there. I have doubts about that. I think I might be alone.
We'll be there.
We're going to make it.
Look, I got glasses. I went to the eye doctor. I went to the eye doctor so I could get new glasses.
Wait, what? This is my driver?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to the eye doctor so I could get new glasses, so the glasses are on the way.
And they're going to be here in time?
Yes, okay. Ideally.
Oh, good.
I give it an 80%.
I'll make sure I tell you guys how it all went.
I got new tires in my car. Oh, I put washer fluid in my car. And I'm going to do an oil change either tomorrow or Sunday.
Okay, Matt's car sounds equipped.
So,
the problem is, let me tell you, here's the thing. We've never spent really this much time together.
No, this is going to be like a record-breaking amount of time spent
together. Like in the first day, it'll be record-breaking.
Not even the first day, the car ride.
You two got the car ride.
That's true. That's true. This is definitely going to be the most one-on-one me and Matt time we've ever had.
That's why I doubt it.
You're going to see a whole new level of chemistry. Really?
We're going to be the bestest of friends by then.
Oh, yes. We're going to be just chatterboxes. We should like record the whole trip of us traveling there. It'd be like me sitting on my phone silently, Matt just staring at the rug.
We gotta do something.
This is fraught for disaster.
Every now and then you just flip on the microphone and
yes, we'll document it. We'll be like hour three of our drive, and there's some more cows.
Highway ahead of us still.
So glad I am traveling a different way.
The highways and the byways.
Oh, this is horrible. Q2 driving through Pennsylvania.
We're going to be so close after this.
Good.
Besties.
Good.
Yep.
This will be good.
Yeah. No thanks to you. You just like hated on us. You said, oh, I'm scared for them.
I just don't think, whatever. You know, God bless you. Knock yourself out.
Thank you.
I got my own stuff to worry about that weekend. True. I got other stuff going on. Anyway.
Yeah, you've got to present and we have to find John Cena so Matt can arm wrestle him. Actually, I can arm wrestle him if you think that. I'm fine with that.
Oh, here we go again.
I'll arm wrestle him, but it's not going to go very well. He's John Cena.
Okay, it'd just be a funny
Listen,
video.
Listen, folks, I'm telling you right, this trip might not come off the way this is sounding tonight. There might be a cancellation in the next week.
I'm just saying, I think that a great video
I might have to cancel
would be Matt arm wrestling John Cena because that's
I can
so
feel
funny.
It in my bones already.
Imagine us backstage, we see John Cena and we just John Cena, can we need you? Yeah, John, no. Can I arm wrestle you?
Well, here's what I see. Me coming to you Thursday saying, hey, why don't you guys stay home?
You're gonna say, hey, actually hey, the WWE canceled.
Hey, this is a clip weekend. You guys can stay home and
hey, you guys got some preparing to do for that eclipse.
I'll see you on Monday.
Speaking of which, how's our eclipse event?
Fine.
Okay, good.
Fine.
Good. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I am. I'm very excited for it. Have we talked about what's going on
yet?
Well,
we have talked about it. I don't know if we have talked about
it. Okay. I just didn't know if it was public knowledge up to this point.
No. We haven't done that yet. I think we'll do that next week.
Okay.
Since it's all falling into place.
Get ready for the eclipse event. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Because here's my worry about the whole thing. See, once you're stuck with somebody at a place, you know, it's not like you can tell them to leave if they're getting on your nerves. You know?
Just say, go outside. Or, like, go outside. Go in the hall. Like,
see, that's
separate.
What I would do. If I was, like...
No, that just comes off rude.
No, I mean, I would rather do that than, like... Because, like, if we were, like... If somehow we got to a point where it was, like, you know, about, like, genuine argument, I'd probably just, like, leave and go walk around Philadelphia or something. I'll be back.
I don't see me having an argument with anybody.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I get a little tired of people, I'll just, like, kind of
stop
talking.
Tired of people, that would be it.
Yeah.
I think I'd be tired of people.
Yeah, I think you can just go mute. Stop talking for the time being and take your time.
Carrington's got the right idea. Just at that point, you just kind of...
shut up.
You just kind of go on battery saver mode, and then you
read the room. You read the room.
I don't think you're very good at reading the room, we found out in past occasions.
I think I'm fine at reading the room.
I don't think so.
I think your perception of me reading the room.
See, this is happening already. We're not even there. It's already happening.
No, we're gonna be fine. You'll just say, "Hey,
I don't want to have this conversation in Philadelphia, right in front of the Liberty Bell. We'll be having this conversation.
We're gonna argue.
We're 7 hours away from home.
And you just feel trapped. You're like,
get FedEx. We're gonna have to send her back FedEx.
No, you're flying. You don't have to worry about that.
No, but I can't leave that day.
Well, we could separate. You could say, hey, I'm going to take a walk. That way it's not...
I'm going to take a walk.
Yeah, it's not... You go outside.
I'm
going to
go down here and see the Constitution.
I'm going to go outside.
No, but I can see you being the type of person who would grate somebody's nerves.
That's so mean.
No, is that mean?
I don't know, honestly.
No, I think that's... No, you just could be.
Oh, you mean intentionally, like, bothering someone?
Not intentionally.
Oh, you think
I just think your normal personality could be something that would rub somebody the wrong way.
He's saying you're unwilling to be around
that's
for a long
so
period
mean.
Of time.
Not really.
So
by the way, we're about to go to break
mean.
If you thought of the...
Cheese dip.
No. We're not going to make it. Have you thought of the break activity? 49 minutes later, no she hasn't. No. Here we go, Philadelphia. Here we come. Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell. Oh, boy. But if we get your head inside the Liberty Bell and shake it a couple times, I'd straighten you right out.
The people of Philadelphia would not like that.
Oh,
you can't touch the Liberty
Bell. That's my town. That's my town.
We've learned. Philadelphia. You can't touch that.
I wonder if Angie's available. Maybe I'll call her up.
Good idea.
Good idea.
Good idea.
We'll be back after this short but important break on this little happy program tonight.
Get your cheese dip.
Get your cheese dip. Oh, and get your Philly cheesesteak, and we'll come back with much more after this.
My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed, and the laugh was, you know, ha!